Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz today.
This process is producing results. It's important, and we hope that it can continue. At the same time, I look forward to detailed conversations with the government of Israel about the way ahead in Gaza.
The ceasefire is providing results, is it? I have three Israelis dead at the hands of Hamas in Jerusalem. Tell me more about how the ceasefire is working out well. How could one even begin to say this? This was Anthony Blinken, the Secretary of State, with the President of Israel. The President of Israel is more of a ceremonial position, but lately has been very involved in the public relations conversation. You have two Hamas terrorists who murdered three Israelis. That was this morning. And the ceasefire is going well. The ceasefire isn't going well. And there is no international push to get Hamas to stop the murder. They can do anything according to the Globe. Certainly anything according to the absolute filthy, despicable so-called protesters in New York who wanted to stop a Christmas tree lighting. They're carrying flags with swastikas on them. And the press acts like nothing's happening. I don't know who said it. Five Proud Boys get together on a street corner. It's front page news. A couple of thousand people or more scream for genocide and compare Israel to the Nazis, and it doesn't make a news outlet anywhere. There is so much pro-Hamas support out there. It boggles the mind. At least it does for people who haven't spent any time thinking about it. And we should be clear, it's pro-Hamas support. And all of this, and I'm going to get into this specifically about women. Oh, you thought the feminists were on your side. You thought yourself a feminist. That's adorbs. We will get into it. Tony Katz today. What's going on, everybody? 833-GOT-TONY, 833-468-8669. I have a couple people in that social media world who want to tell you that Hamas is right, or they want to say that free Palestine, but they can't describe it. But no one has actually engaged the debate. Make the argument that Hamas is right. Go on. 833-GOT-TONY, 833-468-8669. And to be clear, I'm going to ask you if you think the murder of 1,200, 1,300 people, the rape of women, the burning of children alive, and the kidnapping of four-year-olds and four-month-olds, or is it a 10-month-old? See, there's such a difference. Whether or not you think that that's okay. I'm going to ask that question. If you then respond with, well, do you think it's okay that Israel... Whoa. This is what Hamas did. Everything else is in response. Let's talk about what Hamas did. Well, they didn't do it in a vacuum. This is what they did. Are you okay with it? We're going to start there. I'm letting you know my opening hand, my opening salvo into all of this. But as we have been discussing, us more than anybody, this is, of course, a Western civilization conversation. This is about us. But how in the world does anybody make the argument that this truce is producing results? If you mean that Israel is getting their people back, getting hostages back, I can see that. I think that that's a fine argument. But that should be the baseline. As a matter of fact, it should have been the United States trying to get their own people back, putting something to the head of Hamas and to Iran saying, we're not playing a game with you. Back in 12 hours or else. You have allowed nearly 60 days to go by. 60 days. Now you say to me, well, Reagan had hostages. Well, first of all, it wasn't Reagan, it was Carter. So we're clear. Carter allowed hostages for over a year. Then Reagan took office, and then magically they were all freed. If you want to know if peace through strength is real, go back to that moment in time, then realize why yes it is. Now, again, I ask if anybody thinks this is going well. And does anybody really recognize, are we all in recognition of the level of pro-Hamas support that is really out there? And what does it say about us? This is a conversation about us. This is a conversation about whether or not the society we have is actually moored to a reality that creates value. And the answer is, I say no. Meanwhile, the ceasefire will continue for another day. Eight more hostages will be freed tonight. Now, Israel has stated that they, on Sunday, plan on moving forward with their attacks. They're going to move forward. There's a report that the Hamas leader, Sinwar, has stated the leaders of the occupation should know October 7th was just a rehearsal. So Israel engages all the restraints in the world because their people matter to them, and Hamas is only hell-bent on more destruction. Yet I have total lowlifes, whether it be in New York, whether it be in my beloved Indianapolis, screaming from the river to the sea. I'm sorry, if you're singing for genocide, you're a lowlife. You're a lowlife. You are what you are. I don't know why. Why would this even be something that's questionable? Singing for genocide, I assume, we may not have met in person, but I assume you and I have a couple things in common, and if someone is singing for genocide, we would probably put them low on our list of people we consider decent, but high on the list of people we consider garbage. This would be my bet. And yet we see it in New York constantly. We see it everywhere. And now we see Israel willing, because they know it's going to hurt them. And I am concerned about that hurt. It's going to hurt them to allow Hamas this time to rearm and regather strength. But they want to get their people back. It's going to hurt them. And the people who it's going to help, they're hell-bent on more death and more destruction, and they murdered three Israelis today. The world isn't going to say, you know, we've had enough of your crap. Nope. Joe Biden caved to the Hamas squad. The Hamas squad has won this argument. Notice the pro-Israel Democrats are nowhere to be found. No one's talking to them. They're not making any noise. They're not having their own rallies. They're not doing their own events. They're not engaged in gathering on the steps of the Capitol. Nothing. Nothing. Oh, they were all outraged in the beginning. They're nowhere to be seen right now. They're afraid of the squad. They can't take on Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib. They can't take on Andre Carson and Jamal Bowman. And in the streets of New York, they try and light the Rockefeller Christmas tree. And here come the pro-Hamas folks to try and end it. One guy in New York's got an American flag with him, and he's getting attacked by people trying to steal the flag. The police had to escort him out the area. You get escorted out while you're holding an American flag? What are we all? Are we all insane? This is the backwards nature of where we are right now. Where the people who were attacked are told that they're guilty, and the people who do the attacking get a pass. That is a backwards culture. And that backwards culture is coming for Western civilization as fast as they can. And we've got people dead silent. I bring it up, and I'm going to get into more of it. First, to share where we are where the Israelis are, where the United States is trying to apply pressure, which I think is mistaken, and exactly what it is we're dealing with, because as we know, this doesn't just involve Israel. This doesn't just involve Jews. This is about us. This is about you. This is about your Christian kids and my Jewish kids. This is about us and we. Anybody who says otherwise, they're the ones who are after you and me. No one, no progressive will survive. There will be no decision making. Hey, we put terrorist cells in the United States, but before engaging bombing and destruction, we asked, anybody here a progressive? Okay, you can go. You can go, no, conservative, you stay. Then the bomb goes off. They didn't check who was who when they killed and raped and burned alive the people at the Rock Festival. And they're not going to do it in the U.S. This isn't just about Israel. It isn't just about Jews. It's about Western civilization. This is a reminder. I'm Tony Katz. This is Tony Katz Today.
Also breaking this noon, the Warren County Health Department is sounding the alarm about an outbreak of pediatric pneumonia. The county is reporting 142 cases since August, which the department describes as an extremely high number. The department has an ongoing investigation of possible links or risk factors, but so far they've found no definitive common thread. Symptoms to watch out for include cough, fever, and fatigue. The department is reminding families to take precautions to protect your child's health. That means washing your hands 20 seconds with warm water, covering your cough, sneezing into your elbow as well. And then this was probably the easiest one. Stay home when you are sick.
That's the thing to do. For sure. The reason I bring this up is that we've been following the story about China. This story about this massive surge that they've had in their hospitals in Beijing and then to the north. Children, Tony Katz Today. And they said, well, look, it's known pathogens, known viruses. It's no big deal. To which we said, we're not about to believe you, you lying bastards. I believe that was what was said. There might be a little bit lost in translation right there. It could be. I could be, a bit off on that. Is it possible that something from China is in the state of Ohio? This is Warren County, Ohio, where they're having this. The answer is, I don't know. Here's what I know. This is not me diagnosing your kid or your life at all. Here's what I know. Everybody I know is sick or knows somebody who is. Everybody I know. That is a purely anecdotal statement. I agree. I am not a doctor, although I have really good doctor music. That's Doogie Howser. I also have really good lawyer music. And of course, really good taxi music. It's actually from the show Taxi. It's just noticeable. And I have friends who are adults, right? Friends, of course, they're my friends. Clogged ears, clogged noses, sinus issues. Kids. My kid's home. There's a cough. Now I'm looking at this, I'm like, oh, well, maybe we'll have a chat. And people are like, oh my gosh, your kid has a cough. It's COVID. Could you all just settle down? The reactionary part of this is so nuts. Awareness is different than being reactionary. If there's something happening, like, for example, they've got this cluster of pediatric pneumonia, I think that's very interesting. And when I see what has happened in China, it's, I think, kind of natural to say, wait a second, do these two things correlate? Part of the problem is you can't get honesty out of China, which is why when they say, well, this is just regular stuff, regular pathogens, regular virus, no big deal, I don't believe you. If we know anything, it's that China is going to lie.
I am inevitable.
It's inevitable that China will lie. But I share it because that's happening, and now this thing in Warren County is happening. But when people are like, oh my gosh, my kid has a cough, it's been 4 hours, I immediately have to rush to a hospital. You don't. Do we not remember that we used to get sick as kids? I was explaining to my youngest that I went through this as a kid, and there I was in my parents' bedroom watching Price is Right on a 24-inch color TV, drinking ginger ale through a bendy straw, saying, this is the life. Oh, the time. Don't get me wrong, I was sick, but there was saltines, there was a compress on the head, and there was ginger ale at the ready. It was, and my parents had the king bed. I could roll this way, I could roll that way. It was fantastic. And my parents, true story, my parents had foil wallpaper. This is not a joke. Foil wallpaper, it was my Biden impression right there. Foil wallpaper that had, would have like a design of the fleur-de-lis, right? The Saints, right? Logo. And it was done in like this raised fabric. And they picked it because they wanted a bedroom that reminded them of a French bordello. Oh yeah, I grew up differently than you did. I just want to say that for the record. I grew up much differently than you did. This about the pediatric pneumonia in Warren County, keep a little bit of an eye on that. Meanwhile, Kroger is getting sued. Two proposed federal class action lawsuits. There was an investigation done that say the grocery chain Kroger disclosed private data through its online store and its pharmacy. Planted a bug on its website, which includes an online pharmacy, and was looking over the shoulder of each visitor for the entire duration of their website interaction. The bug refers to the Metapixel and other trackers Kroger used on its website. So you're telling me that if people went to Kroger and were utilizing the pharmacy and wanted to get some medicine or were looking something up, that information got transmitted to Meta, which is Facebook, so Facebook could then serve them ads based on that? You know, I'm never a guy to say that there should be a law, but holy hell. That's gross. And no, Meta, you're not entitled to this data. And no, Mark Zuckerberg, you're not a decent guy. I mean, I have moved all of my video work out of Facebook. Everything now is at TonyKatz.com or Rumble. Of course I moved it out of Facebook. I'm not spending money with these people. I'm not trusting these people. It means that I'm going to grow slower in my digital footprint. So be it. These people are awful. And they're not entitled to the data. And yet we have yet to conclude that we should be forceful about not giving them the data. But there's an entire generation that's like, yeah, whatever. I don't care. I know people of younger generations who would happily put a chip in their arm to pay for things because it would just make things easier. Well, you can be tracked with it. I don't care. I'm not going anyplace bad. If you're not going anyplace bad, it doesn't matter. That is... If we want to talk again about Western culture being broken, that right there. This is Tony Katz today. So note my confusion, which I see as a series of conflicting numbers, and I think that many people would consider also these to be conflicting numbers at the first, at the quick. Maybe people who are in the know, smarter than I am, don't see it as conflicting. They see it as, well, telling a story. But when you show me that the Eurozone, meaning the European world, they see inflation sinking to 2.4%, which was below expectations, you think that inflation is working its way down. But then you see that in the United States, that what the Fed views as their quote-unquote favorite gauge shows inflation up 0.2% and 3.5% from a year ago, 0.2% in the month of October. You're like, Europe is going down, but we're going up. And I'm told that a lot of people went holiday shopping, and now I've got the Wall Street Journal telling me that consumers pulled back on spending in October. Was that so they could make it up with Black Friday deals? Or am I not getting the full story on the Black Friday deals? This is our confusion, and we got to work our way through it. Tony Katz today. It's good to be with you. Find everything at TonyKatz.com. Dr. Matt Will joins us. He is an economist at the University of Indianapolis, a professor, a man who tries to teach younger people how to be smart. Let's start with what's going on with inflation in Europe. Eurozone inflation sinks to 2.4%. Core inflation fell to 3.6% from 4.2%, providing fuel for expectations, as CNBC writes it, that the European Central Bank might engage rate cuts. What's happening in Europe?
Well, first of all, they're not going to engage in rate cuts. That's silly speculation because the addicts on Wall Street want lower rates. But what's happening in Europe is what's not happening here. They actually have laws that say how much you can deficit spend. Now, countries like Greece violate it all the time. Currently, France is violating those rules. But there are rules that a country in the European Union cannot spend more than, I think it's 3 or 4% of their GDP on debt every year. They can't go deficit spending. So they're actually trying to get it under control. The central bank is telling France and other countries, cut your spending. So there's actually a concerted effort. I don't know if it'll succeed, but there's an effort to control spending in Europe by the government. That's not happening here. So Europe, led by Germany, by far the biggest and most powerful economy in that continent, is under control more than we are.
I was told by the Biden administration, Dr. Will, that other nations dream of having our economy, that our inflation is lower than theirs. They wish it was this low. Now I'm being told that their inflation is lower. How did that switcheroo happen?
Oh, I don't know. I guess maybe I don't understand math, because Biden believes that 2.4 Europe is higher than the U.S. 3.5. So 2.4 is higher than 3.5. This is new math. This is socialist new math, that somehow 2.4 is higher than 3.5. I don't know what world we're living in, but this is the world we have.
But it goes to this conversation of there's a manipulation of data. When Joe Biden and his team make this argument, and I've discussed this on this show, that no one cares what the situation is in Europe. They don't care what that is. They care about what's happening at their kitchen table. So it's interesting to hear them squawk about being lower than Europe when right now they're not, because we're being told that the Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index, which is a mouthful, young man, excluding food and energy, rose 0.2% for the month and 3.5% on a year-over-year basis. This, according to the Commerce Department. Explain to me what this is.
Well, this, and you don't want to look at the 0.2 number. You want to look at the 0.3, which is disposable personal income. It's how much you have in your pocket to spend. If you have income, but it's taxed or taken away from you, that's not really the relevant number. So it's more the 0.3 number if you look at the report. That's simply the amount of money that citizens have in their pocket to spend. And the amount of stuff that they buy with that money is up 0.3% annualized. That's, 3.6%. So it's the CPI, which we always talk about, Tony, that's okay. But this is what the Fed really looks at. They like to look at this number because it is what you, the person on Main Street, has and what you're spending. So it's a much more accurate number in their opinion and in mine.
So you call it a more accurate number. Let me give you a little bit of what we know. Goods prices, the things that we buy every day, saw a 0.3% decrease, while services rose 0.2%. International travel, healthcare, food services, and accommodations. And in goods, gasoline did grow, and then other things went down. This number, though, you're calling it 0.3 because you're talking about 3.5% from a year ago. That's where you get the 0.3 number, correct?
Yes.
So the question is, why is this gauge, which, again, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index, why is this a gauge that the Fed likes more than just unemployment numbers?
Well, again, you know, let me say one thing. We probably spend too much time microanalyzing the numbers. We probably need to wait and look over a few months what the trend is. That's much more meaningful than looking at a snapshot. And that's what the Fed does. The Fed looks in a snap or over time. They don't look at one microscopic number. And they like this number, like I said before, because it is truly reflective of what's in your pocket and what you're spending. The CPI comes from this basket of goods. I think they created it in 1972. I think the stuff we're purchasing today is different than 1972. So the Fed says, we don't care what you're buying. Let's just see what you're spending. We don't care what you're spending it on, because the CPI is a basket of goods. Like maybe VCRs are in there. I don't think so, but it's a basket of goods. Disposable income is the cash in your pocket and what you're spending. And that trend, if you look at the current dollar, PCE is going up. It's been 0.4, 0.4, 0.3. It's not in a good direction. It was half that number 5 months ago.
Talking to Dr. Matt Will, economist at the University of Indianapolis. And I said, by the way, I said unemployment numbers. I meant consumer price index, producer price index. I, for whatever reason, said unemployment. I apologize for that. Talk to me why this is bad. Personal consumption expenditures. This would signal to me that people are buying stuff. That should be a good thing. You're arguing that they're spending more for the stuff.
Yes. And in fact, the Wall Street Journal agrees with me and Amazon disagrees. You cited this the other day when we spoke, and you just said it a few moments ago. The Wall Street Journal, this is confusing. We always talk about this. It's a confusing economic picture right now, that the Wall Street Journal says October spending, holiday spending coming up, it's not as robust as we thought. Yet you heard the other day Amazon saying, oh, the best Cyber Monday they've ever had in history. How do we reconcile the two? It's very simple. I've seen this for decades as I do interviews on this. Every holiday season, the retail establishment wants you to be optimistic so you'll buy. Amazon is misleading you. The Retail Federation, Shopping Federation, they're misleading you. You have to look at the actual numbers after the holiday season, and the first look from the Wall Street Journal is not good.
The story in the Wall Street Journal was consumers pulled back on spending in October. And yes, indeed, you heard that there were more Black Friday shoppers than ever. But what I could not get an answer to is, did the shopper actually get more, or were they just spending more for what they got? I think that's the right question, Dr. Will. I think I'm onto something there. Do we have an answer to that yet?
Of course it's the right question. It is the exact right question. And do you honestly expect an answer from companies whose entire business is you spending money
retail?
Yes, I do,
because I am a naive child who believes that everybody is truthful.
Well, no? I can't account for your naivete.
But talk to me. I mean, isn't that, when you say it's the exact right question, why should people be looking at this, and how do we get the answer?
You won't get the answer until January or February, when the Department of Commerce releases the holiday shopping data, because the National Retail Federation, which is a big dog, and Amazon, which is a big company, they want you to believe things are great. And you would too. If you're running a company, you want your customer to be optimistic and excited and come in and spend money. So they do it every year. Every year they come out with a preliminary forecast that's great, and they tell you things are wonderful and you should be spending lots of money, because it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. But they're just full of, it's just bogus. They're leading you, it's marketing versus facts. And I warn people not to be bought into the marketing. Pay attention to the facts.
So now let's talk about the facts. The holiday season is here. We have seen a slight slowing of the inflationary numbers, although we certainly have not seen inflation go down. You have seen that the futures, 52% of those surveyed, see interest rates possibly coming down nearly a full percent in 2024. You've seen the markets go up over the last 4 weeks, and we might now have 5 weeks, depending on what happens over the next couple of days, 5 weeks of an up market. It would signal to a person, a layperson, right, just watching from the outside, that things are better. How do you then explain to that layperson, or do you, that they're not really better? I mean, I guess asked a different way, maybe with a little more clarity. Do the numbers that we're being told match up with the experience that Americans are having?
Okay, are you ready for a curveball?
Sure.
The numbers aren't that bad today. Today, they're not that bad. In fact, this morning, the Chicago PMI came out, and we talk about this, I talk about it every month, and tomorrow is the national PMI. The Chicago is the production manufacturing index. How much is the production of goods in this country growing or shrinking? It's been shrinking for 15 months. The number came out today, the Chicago preliminary index is up from an expected of 46 to 55. Instead of shrinking, that number shows the economy is growing 5% versus shrinking, the expectation was 4. That blew me away this morning when I saw that report. That is a very positive report. Is it an anomaly? I hope not, but that is a very positive report. So I can't tell people the data is negative. Today, the data is good.
Well, I don't want to tell people something just to tell them. I want to tell them what is. This was the GDP up 5.2%, correct? That's what you're referring to?
No, not GDP. The PMI. PMI is the project... Purchasing Managers Index. It's a private number that's similar to GDP.
And it shows, give me those numbers again just to make sure everybody has them.
Okay, so 50 is like stagnant economy. Under 50, shrinking, above 50, growing. The Chicago report was 55 today. The expectation was 46. The Chicago number has been down under 50 for 15 months in a row. The national number has been down 12 months in a row. The national number comes out tomorrow.
So it leads me to a question of the Fed has been trying to cool down the economy. Doesn't this go the other way? And therefore the Fed says, well, I guess we're not cutting interest rates anytime soon.
And in fact, as soon as that report came out this morning, as soon as it happened, the 10-year treasury went up.
Correct. So I'm not crazy.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. But let's just say that the report, you're accurate in your interpretation of the reaction to the report.
But that brings us back to the question overall. Is this economy in a better place? Do you see a trend to a better place? Or do you only see some snapshots in time that say, this is better? Time will tell whether or not it actually gets better.
That is the correct statement. That last statement you made is the correct statement.
Dr. Matt Will, economist at the University of Indianapolis, Dr. Matt Will, W-I-L-L, Dr. Matt Will, on the X Twitter box. I appreciate you taking the time. More coming up. I'm Tony Katz. Why is Donald Trump calling Nikki Haley a puppet of the GOP? Puppet GOP candidate. Put this in a fundraising email. What is the win there? Now, I will state quite clearly that Trump is up in polls by 50 points. He can say anything he wants. It's crazy how far ahead he is in this polling. Tony Katz today. What's going on, everybody? But the idea that you would call Nikki Haley a puppet brings attention to Nikki Haley, who got the Americans for Prosperity endorsement, which, again, I mean, I do work with AFP. I don't get it. I don't know why they jumped in the race on this one, but they did. I mean, I assume they looked at data and they said to themselves, she's got the best chance to beat Biden in general. Let's go support the person who has the best chance to beat Biden in general, which is, you can argue, a sound argument. except for a group that's really based on activists. The activist class isn't with Nikki Haley, so it's a very odd maneuver right there. But never mind that. He's up by this massive number, calling her a puppet. All it does is let people talk about Nikki Haley. Is the argument they're talking about Nikki Haley? They're not talking about Ron DeSantis, and that's what he really wants? Or is it the argument that it's Trump? This is what he does. Move on. Trump's going to punch where he punches as he's going to punch, and that's the end of the ballgame. That's what he's going to do. And it doesn't matter because it's not like he's going to lose support for it. When you're ahead by 50 points, do you really worry about anything? And then, of course, you got guys like me are like, yeah, he's up in the polls in 50 points. I want to see what happens in Iowa. I am. I'm looking at it that way. Here's what Trump wrote. The globalist Coke fake network. The globalist Coke fake network Americans for China Prosperity. Oh, holy hell. Who constantly admit that they did better in business under President Trump than ever before have decided to back Nikki Birdbrain Haley over Ron DeSanctimonious, a minor hit for Ron. I was never in the running because I'm all about making America, not the outside world, great again. Good Lord. Good Lord. But I think the story is, do I think it's weird? Yes, I do. I think it's weird. It's a weird, odd, awkward thing because I do think that it kind of elevates Nikki Haley. I think it's just a weird, I think it's just a weird thing to do. But while I think it's weird, it could be nothing more than what it is, which is, okay, Trump took his hit on Nikki Haley. Now he's moving on to the next thing. When you're up by 50, you can kind of get away with anything you want. I think that's the response. It's weird. It does kind of elevate her. But in the end, he doesn't care. Because the numbers tell him he doesn't have to care. I'm Tony Katz. This is Tony Katz Today.